Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. Sean Rossap here. I was getting an immediate start. Alex Pawlowski here in record time after what was allegedly going to be a four-hour AEW Dynamite. And then Tony Khan did the most sicko thing imaginable. He did an overrun on a four-hour an overrun on a four-hour show. This did not need to be a four-hour show, but I understand it's WBD's call. they wanted it. So by God, we're here. We got a bunch of super chats and humper chats already. Listen, if there is no better commercial for the humper chats, it's if you don't feel like staying up until midnight to watch our post show, get your humper chats in well early in the day. Alex, how you feeling right now at 12:06 a.m. Eastern? You are central though, yeah?
I'm central, so I'm 11:06 p.m. I am tired. I am also angry on behalf of the women of AEW.
Yes.
One real match for the women. The other one was a glorified squash. It wasn't even all that glorified. It was just a squash. In 4 hours, and they made four different matches for tonight during the show, but not one of those four matches was a women's match. Now, apparently, they have already scheduled two full women's matches for next week, with the potential to add more over the week, but it is unconscionable in the year 2025 to just, you know what? It's fine. Just the one's good enough. Like we gotta get past this. We can't be doing this. You have too many really talented women who are available to you. You can do more. Other than that, a lot of this felt like a 4 hour rampage. Like it just didn't feel like it wasn't as momentous as I thought it was going to be. But there were some really great in-ring work, and we did add some stuff and brew some stories. But on the whole, like, I don't know, 6.5 out of 10, too long, needs more girls. You know what I mean? One of those kinds of reviews.
Real sausage fest show tonight, for sure. And 4 hours, you work in a third at the minimum. At the minimum, you work in a third.
Yeah.
Especially, literally a Queen Aminata squash would have made all the sense in the world tonight.
Because we'll talk then more. You actually have that dovetail.
We'll talk about that. Leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. I have an interview, speaking of AEW women who can't get on the show, Deonna Purrazzo this week on Fightful. Please check that out. I had Matt Cardona last week, but FightfulSelect.com. We will only plug it as we get to the pertinent stories, but $5.99 a month. Please subscribe. It's too late to be plugging that stuff. Tom Lavallee says, love you guys. So tired. Have to work tomorrow. Brian More or Less says, can't stay up for the stream because I got work in the morning, but I'll listen to it while I work. Thanks. Thanks for staying up late for us. By God, we are here. Listen, is it a little inconvenient? Sure. I covered New Japan for the first half of my career as the main beat guy for it. It's not that big of an issue. Plus, your boy's been covering AEW papes for the last 6 years. So easy work here. And UFC pay-per-views for the longest time. I was doing those live shows at 1:30 in the morning with Showdown Joe at some point.
I remember.
I don't miss that at all. A note from FightfulSelect.com today. Swerve, Harley, RJ City, Renee Paquette all absent as they were at a I don't want to like put him out there, but the manager for many of these people had a wedding in Italy. So much Harley was written off. Renee does backstage stuff. RJ's in creative, but Swerve, his absence was due to that. But Brian more or less says, haven't seen Orange Cassidy in some time or any idea on his status. Was expecting him to have a feud with the Callis family because of Trent. Well, yeah, boys, FightfulSelect.com, best $5.99 in the business. Reported a while back, he was suspected to have a pec tear, was going to miss quite some time, unfortunately. But Dave Cost says, boys, an overrun for a 4-hour show. Maybe the meanest thing Tony's ever done. My eyes are bleeding. Have a great show. Catch you in the morning. It's truly a phenomenal rib. I got to admit, it's a phenomenal rib. Matthew Hooks of Hook. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, Alex.
No, that's it. A huge rib. Just giant rib.
Matthew Hooks of Hooked In Voiceover says AEW is doing well, but lack of women unacceptable. Oh boy, I will be speaking on that one. Just Ricardo says, book more ladies, Antonio. Hi, lovelies. Well, hello to you too.
Hello
to you too. So we'll sort of consolidate things as they happen. But John Moxley defeated Mark Briscoe. Mark Briscoe got some color. Mark Briscoe just perennially sympathetic as a character and entertaining, and is able to get the crowd on his side. But ultimately, he falls victim to a choke, and the referee stops the match. But right. I think if you're gonna do a 4-hour show, you got to have your John Moxleys and Tony Storms and the like wrestling on those shows. But even with that, felt every bit of the 4 hours.
Yeah. This is, the way to get, Moxley on the show, and we got a little sneak peek of him later involved in the Hangman thing. But, this was an interesting way to kick off the night. I think Briscoe would really benefit from just, a little vacation. I'm not saying forever. Yeah. But like, just to freshen up, he's on TV a lot, and he does most of the same stuff all the time, and to me, it's grown incredibly stale. But even people who like still like his stuff, they're like, yeah, but I mean, you could freshen him up by having him go away and then come back and do a big thing, which is what I thought the Ricochet stretcher match was gonna be. Yeah. Like, what a perfect way to send him out. Oh, he's dealing with injuries because he got beat up with that whole thing. Let him take his kids on a cross-country road trip, all 9 of them. You know what I mean? Like, let's do that. Fire up the 18-wheeler because that's how much space you're going to need for all those kids, and just drive across the country, have a grand old time, and then come back in a couple of months, 6 weeks, when we're all like, oh, great, Mark Briscoe's back. You know what I mean? It just feels like, I don't know, it feels like it's more likely than not for him to just roll over into another heel that he's pissed off at and has a brutal match with him next week, because that's just how he does stuff now.
I have always thought that him doing the reverse R-Truth was a good angle for him to go something different, where you find out he's a genius through these vignettes of him on the farm and all that. And
yeah.
Like the roster has known it, but we don't know it. And then we find out through these vignettes, which, again, I think vignettes like that are severely underused in AEW. Like, they had that really fun Bandito one like last year where they had like the Wild West thing.
Yeah.
I think that is a route they could go, and something that could be very, very good. We did have a Místico vignette. He'll return next week on Summer Blockbuster. We also had a Toni Storm promo. She says she is ready to tango, and that's the hype for tonight. Now, I do like that you had Omega, you had Ospreay, you had John Moxley, you had Toni Storm.
Yeah.
Somehow it didn't feel like you had one of those per hour.
No, it didn't.
A lot of that was
front loaded.
I would have, again, on a 4-hour show, it's going to feel especially long. I would have added an MJF match. I would have added a Hangman match, or added an Okada match, something like that. But We had Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa defeating Sky Blue and Julia Hart. So there are some definite hints that they are at least thinking of a tag team division right now.
Well, I mean, they better be. Because not only do we have this with Sky Blue and Julia Hart entering together while holding hands in a very macabre and gorgeous stroll down the ramp. That was great. We have, not to spoil it for later, but a big return leading to the reformation of an old women's tag team. Like, we have Meganelope, as I like to call them, Megan Bain and Penelope, they're doing stuff. Like, there's a whole bunch of women out there that are available and already in tag teams.
Yes.
To prominently feature them so much and then refuse to introduce women's tag belts feels like more than a rib. That feels like a practical joke of some kind. So I certainly hope that's the case. We were promised Mercedes on commentary, and what we got instead was Mercedes on wine and steak.
Steak.
That steak was one-third her body weight. That's the largest steak. That's the old 96er from that movie, The Great Outdoors. That thing was gigantic.
Buddy, it was about one-sixth of that after Toni got done with it, because she gnawed into that. It was so funny. Corey Brennan, our correspondent, said she's totally just going to grab that thing with her hands and rip into it, right? And that's exactly what happened. I just want to shout out, listen, I'm not going to focus a lot on the moves tonight, but I have got to focus on that phenomenal double team move that assisted Gunslinger. So for those of you who don't know what a Gunslinger is, Billy Gunn used to do it. Billy Gunn, who underrated for his innovation, like he had a pretty good move set back in the day.
He did.
But it's where you start off in a power slam hold, you spin your body, then you sling them around, and it's like a uranage, a rock bottom. Mm-hmm. Except this one starts off like in the uranage, and then the person's feet are elevated. The person gets their feet thrown up in the air and slung around. Mm-hmm. Sky Blue and Julia Hart, if you hear this, don't ever let anybody kick out of that move.
No.
Use that as your finish. Mm-mm. Forever. Because Mina got absolutely planted on that move. It looked amazing.
It
looked incredible. What didn't look incredible was Mercedes Moné trying to go live on TikTok, but the reception in the venue was very bad.
Too bad.
I did stop. It was so funny. I go, why are they kissing mid-match? But I liked it because commentary was like, why are they kissing mid-match? This is a bad idea. And then fortunately, they go into the double hip attack, which, again, just makes me want more of a tag team division. And the TCM chicken wing gets the win. I love Toni Storm using a crossface chicken wing because
it's great.
Even though he wasn't that old school, Bob Backlund in the 90s felt like he was from the 20s.
Yes.
I thought, like, listen, in a vacuum, when you don't think about how few women's segments there were on this show, I really enjoyed this women's match.
Yeah, this was it did exactly what it needed to do. We got to see Mercedes making angry faces, Toni Storm and Mina as this wonderful little situationship they've got going on. Back in the day, I don't know if they still have this anymore because I don't do Facebook anymore, but back in the day in Facebook, you could use your relationship status. It was like taken or single or it's complicated. And I think for the two of them, it's complicated. And that's totally fine. We're totally fine with that. But I like this a lot.
Buddy, I think it's in an open relationship, and the person they were in an open relationship with just deactivated their account.
I mean, that's why it's complicated, right? Are we still in an open relationship, or are we now together? We used to be a throuple. And now one third of the throuple left. Are we now a couple, or is that?
Yes.
Are we adding a third, a new third for the throuple? I'm not really sure.
For those that missed it, Mariah May debuted on WWE TV last night. We'll talk about that a little bit, but we have spoke about that like quite a bit on The Hump today, as well as NXT last night. FightfulSelect.com, again, $5.99 a month. I think it's like $64 a year. Great deal. We're going to have this gentleman over here doing a Money in the Bank review on Saturday over there, and I'll have a bunch of scoops. But we reported officially signed multi-year deal. Internally, there is a plan to alter her name. I just don't know what it is. I'm sure they do, because this what they knew she was coming in. Like, yeah. I know a lot of people go, but what about contract tampering? It's not a thing in pro wrestling, by the way. It's not a thing. Not a real thing. There is no, like, it's not the NBA where they say, Bulls, you can't make an offer to somebody else or else. There's none of that. Now, if it were like 6, 7, 8 months ahead of a contract, there's torturous interference, which can happen. But Tony Khan is not going to go after WWE for negotiating a deal with somebody who had fulfilled their contract and was out the door. Like, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But we have a lot more details over there on that on FightfulSelect.com. We got Efren says, as late as a pay-per-view in Phoenix. yes. Yeah. Yeah. And Knock Bogan says, third shift gang, rise up. Definitely some people are feeling this one, feeling this late shift here. We've got, listen, I'm not going to shine too much light on it, but for those of you asking about the account that is threatening publicly Roxanne Perez, I personally made WWE aware of it. And then I found out they've been aware of it. And authorities are aware of it. That's all I want to say. I do not want to give anybody like that person the satisfaction of anything.
Sure.
Stop being weird to wrestlers.
Yeah, please do that.
Grapple Geekery says, can you believe Denise and Reg didn't stay up and it's only 10 p.m. there? Sigh, thanks for staying up, gents. The women did need another match for tonight. No, they're running from the grind, Alex.
Running from the grind. It's shameful. It's shameful. Literally sprinting away from the grind.
It's a shameful thing. A lobster head, even.
I know.
I dare say. Dave Koss says, big congrats on your squash victory over the crumbs at Sports Kita. AR Fox, bell to bell doesn't miss. Get Willow on the damn show, please. I don't know where she was, like, in the ring.
She was apparently in Edmonton. Like, she was taking pictures with the Stanley Cup. Like, she was doing press, I guess, for the
promotion. Yeah.
Promotion thing. I think
listen, that's one you got to do. I get it. Yeah. I understand that for sure. For those that missed it, I spoke about the Sports Kita thing on Monday. An editor did get to me and say that they are instituting a backlinking policy. I know for a lot of you don't give a shit, and that's okay. Go watch the end of the Monday night show. But it is a very good thing for original creators because, yeah. Tony P says, you talked about the change of morale with WWE talent after the Truth news. And the way it's making some wrestlers feel easy currently. Now we're getting the cross news led to me asking you this question. Have you heard from any WWE talent, lifer or not, who at one time would have never entertained an offer from TK or grind on the indies, now possibly seeing those as more serious options when their contracts are up, even if WWE still wants them? Let me be careful how I say this, because everything I say gets clipped and aggregated.
Yeah.
I just want to make this clear. I don't know how you let R-Truth go, because I don't know how you don't make money on him. He's a top merch seller. He was a valuable character towards what they do. He is an incredible locker room guy. I also am way happier that in this instance, they let the contracts expire instead of releasing people. I think that's the far better way to do it. Yes. And that happens in business, and that's okay. Nobody is entitled to a lifetime contract. And no. I just want to make that clear. It's just, listen, you ain't going to hear me saying, what are they doing letting Carlito and Valhalla's deals run up? Right. Not happy that they're losing their jobs, but with R-Truth, I am like, what the hell's going on? I'm not going to say it was tied to the R-Truth thing, but yes, I have heard of person or persons that have been like, well, maybe I explore my options before signing well ahead of time.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the limit I can say on that.
Yeah.
Hurt Syndicate comes out and cuts a promo. MJF wants his title. listen, there was a lot of killing time and promos on this show. Yeah. A whole lot of it.
Yeah.
But MJF calls out Místico and basically says, if he is impressed, he will work at Grand Slam Mexico, which you know is already sold out. I'm very excited for that show.
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on this promo?
MJF.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Getting crazy heat in Mexico versus Místico is a great idea. Místico ain't losing in Mexico. That's not a thing that's going to happen. So they're going to figure out a way to make that work, and MJF's going to get crazy heat about it. The one thing I don't love or even like is that the obvious thing when MJF was like, I would like to be part of the Hurt Syndicate.
Yeah.
He made it very obvious. He said it out loud. I want you guys to basically be my hired security. And if my mouth gets me in trouble, you'll beat somebody up for me on my way to the top. And the reason why I was sure that at least Bobby Lashley was never going to go for it was because I don't feel like Bobby Lashley would willingly sign up to be some guy's security that he himself could beat up whenever he wanted to. So backstage with the little interaction between MJF and Will Ospreay, where he specifically pushed Will's buttons so Will would attack him, and then Bobby Lashley has to step in and protect him, like it makes it look like Bobby Lashley is being willingly used by MJF, and I wanted Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin to be smarter than that. Now, eventually, they'll probably kick him out of the group for one thing or another. But I don't like them being used more as that in that particular place than defending the titles. Now, they will eventually. And they got a six-man next week that got set up tonight. But I would like that I wish that had been more easily seen through. Because immediately, as soon as Max is part of the group, he's like, great, you guys beat up Will Ospreay for me. It's basically what he tried to set up.
So a lot of this stuff, especially as it pertains to CMLL and AAA, I defer to our wonderful moderator, Luis, who, by the way, I just want to give a quick plug, guys. Fightful Espanol is on Patreon, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram now. Please follow it. He's doing a great job. He says, a guy like me would book Hurt Syndicate versus Sky Team, which is Neon, Mascara Dorada, and Místico in Grand Slam Mexico, with MJF tapping out to Místico, causing Bobby to be furious with losing his first match without eating the fall. Well, listen, fewer people know it better than Louis, so I'm going to take his – I'm going to defer to him there. But, listen, this fellow right over here is covering Worlds Collide this weekend. How about that one? How about that one?
I am also, just like Pat McAfee and Michael Cole, huge fan of Mr. Iguana from way back.
Well, odds are Mr. Iguana is going to become a huge star. And if you like odds, you're going to like our new partner at MyBookie.ag. We've jumped ship, guys. I hate to tell you this.
Wow.
Actually, I don't hate to tell you this at all. MyBookie.
I love to tell them this, Sean.
It makes me very happy. Makes me very happy that we have a betting partner in the form of MyBookie. Listen, this weekend has a lot of big shows. UFC 316. It's got WWE Money in the Bank. Roxanne Perez was the favorite. Naomi has slid in as that favorite and is mine. But here's the deal. If you think that you know more than the odds makers over there, check out MyBookie and use the code FIGHTFUL. We've got a link in our description as well. Deposit $100, get $50. Deposit $200 and get $100. And then you've got that big UFC show this weekend. My bookie has you covered. It's not just MMA. It's not just pro wrestling. They got odds from everywhere. That's where we're getting our odds from this point forward, quite frankly. That's the long and short of it. We're getting our odds from my bookie. I am so excited to be doing business with them. And listen, you're going to also hear from them on Grapsody this week. You're going to see articles covering my bookie and the type of stuff that they can provide you. Listen, if you want a safe bet, I'm personally picking Naomi. That's how I'm feeling. Alex, how you feeling this week for Money in the Bank?
Well, you know what? I don't know. It's WWE. I think they might find it a little too tempting to go with something as catchphrase worthy as Mommy in the Bank. I feel like they might just do it just for that reason alone. It might be worth a $10. How low in the odds is Rhea Ripley? Because if she's low in the odds, it might be worth a $10, $20 bet just in case Triple H goes, Mommy in the Bank t-shirts would sell pretty well.
Right now, Rhea Ripley is the second highest odds. It goes Naomi, Rhea Ripley, Roxanne, Alexa, Stephanie, Julia. I've got Naomi, Stephanie, and Rhea as my three favorites. We have Becky Lynch is a monster favorite over Lyra. I kind of think she loses to Lyra again. I think Bayley might come back.
I think she has to win. Otherwise, it's been an entire waste of that whole thing.
Oh, I don't. I think it's to further establish Lyra. I think that's she's in.
I think Lyra's.
John Cena and Logan Paul are the favorites against Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. Seems an awful lot to me like Cody Rhodes will be pinning Logan Paul.
That's what I would say. Not to cast aspersions on our new sponsor, my bookie, but it feels to me like that is a Cody and Logan Paul. On top of what
no, these? Listen, we have been like 28 for 28 in lock picks over the last couple years. Okay. And that's one that I look at and I'm like, all right, fellas, you want to make some money? You think that one's gonna hit? There you go. Seth Rollins favorite for Money in the Bank, LA Knight, Penta, El Grande Americano, Solo Sikoa, and Andrade in that order follow.
Yeah.
I just want to say
I think you gotta do Seth. You got to try and like catch lightning in a bottle again with Seth Rollins. It was the greatest Money in the Bank tenure and cash in ever. You got to try and recapture that. Otherwise, just scrap the whole thing.
Use the code Fightful. WWE UFC cash in when it counts only at my bookie. And let me tell you, if some of you all bet on Drew McIntyre, he cashed in as a plus 250 underdog in his cage match with Damian Priest, but didn't quite work out for him. Didn't quite work out for him. So if you had a little heads up on that, could have made some money. Listen, Jesse Ventura, I think that's the thing. I think Jesse Ventura put his money on Drew.
He was very mad about something.
Yes, he was. My bookie, use the code Fightful. We are so happy to have them aboard. Patricia Mercer says, WWE fans mad about 3-hour SmackDown. Tony says, hold my beer. I am Crush NC says, this shit Fs. I love this company. Can't wait for Deadlock Pro Wrestling on June 15th. June is a great month for my pro wrestling. Hey, listen, I think that they have cultivated something quite incredible. Not an AEW question, but thoughts on the return of Hayabusa. Oh, my God. Listen, man. Hayabusa got me. It's got me in the feels, man. Like, not only did I love Hayabusa, I love freaking Hanzo Mon from WCW Revenge that was based on his character. But he's why I love the Falcon Arrow. Alex, as a child in the middle of nowhere, Kentucky, I had a Dollar Town video store. And of all the VHSs that they possessed was a Best of Hayabusa FMW video.
Wow.
Yes. I rented that thing so many times that the owner was like, do you just want it? You're the only person that has ever rented it. And he's like, I've made my money back off of this. He's like, I feel like you should have this. And selfless me, I said no, because one day somebody else is going to rent that and they are going to discover Hayabusa. This guy wrestles just like Hayabusa. He's built just like Hayabusa. I'm geeked out. I'm geeked out over it. I love it. Yeah. N. Simmons says, just want to say shame on that page for bullying Roxanne. Yeah. Roxanne's just a lovely person.
Yeah.
AEW Women's Division blog says, in line to get my Switch 2, watching you guys. Shout out to my friend Destiny FOMO, who is going to get like 17 of those probably. 2LT Photo says, over here, jamming to Hater Rave 2. Puppets, Sean. I had the opportunity to listen to Hater Rave yesterday.
Yeah.
And there is a phenomenal track as you're listening to this rave music. And then it's just a drop and it goes, bitch. Which I really love. Andrew Brown says, I know people are upset about R-Truth being released, but imagine R-Truth in DDT. Listen, I know a lot of people want R-Truth to go out and do exactly the thing that he's been doing. What I would like to see for the man is him popping up at TNA Slammiversary and being treated as a legend, as somebody who held the NWA world title in that company. And most importantly, tag team champion with Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah.
Platinum Max Open Challenge. Powerhouse Hobbs beat his ass in sweatpants. This is cool. Max Caster is unironically over. The crowd is learning his chant.
Yes. Like, it's crazy to me that I think for the most part, the fans who were screaming for them to break up the Acclaimed was so that Anthony Bowens could go on a singles run. And Max Caster showed up first after the breakup on his singles run. And he was doing the, you know, I'm the best wrestler alive thing, which we all groaned at. But he was so committed to it and so good at getting his ass kicked that people actually started enjoying themselves watching him do it. That's he's getting the proper kind of heat.
There's an art to it. There's a true art to it.
And then when Anthony Bowens shows up, he has like a whole bunch of like different, like, I'm the pride of pro wrestling. I'm also the five tool player. If you don't follow baseball, you don't know what that means. Also, I've still got daddy ass with me for some reason. And that is kind of confusing because it also conjures up a different thing that's not this. And he's so confident he borders on heelish arrogance. And like, he's just, there's something is off with that package. So if you told me since
it's the daddy ass,
that's the biggest thing that's wrong with it. But if you took that out of there, and then maybe it would just solve everything, but maybe it wouldn't. I would say it just looking at what they've done since the breakup, Max Caster's done the best stuff with what he's been doing. And I never would have thought I would have said that when they broke up. So I really want to see what they can do with Anthony Bowens. Next week, Anthony Bowens challenged Kyle Fletcher to a one-on-one match. And my thought is this. Before that match, as he's going out to the ring, he comes across Daddy Ass having been destroyed and buried under a bunch of rubble by the rest of the Don Callis family. And he's got to go out there by himself. He loses because it's Kyle Fletcher. But also, that's a great way to write Billy Gunn off TV for a week or two or several months or forever. And then Anthony Bowens can be his own man now. I think it's a good way of getting to that. Let's hope that's what happens.
Tim McFall says, puppets or we riot. Okay. I don't have it in my notes. Who did Speedball interrupt?
Speedball and his two guys, they interrupted the Hurt Syndicate.
Hurt Syndicate, who we spoke about.
They said they wanted a match for the tag titles, and they said, haha, no. But then they said, well, after they had their match, then Hurt Syndicate came out and said, okay, we'll have a six-man with you next week.
Yes.
So.
Well, we got a six-man tonight. Kevin Knight, Speedball Mike Bailey, Commander defeated LFI, Roosh, Beast Mortos, and Drelistico. And then we, again, we have this set for next week. Again, good match. AEW, I often mention WWE has a formula for 3 or 4 way matches very well. Like they, it works really well. AEW does 6-man and 8-man tags incredibly well.
Yeah. I love the trio of Speedball and Kevin Knight and Commander. Commander, by the way, held his own really well on the mic. Like, you do not need to put Abrahantes with this guy ever again. Like, Commander can do whatever he needs to on the mic just fine. Also, Beast Mordos now with a new mask that is somehow even scarier than, like, all black Minotaur from hell. Like, the white thing is really cool. He's like some weird combination of like some weird mountain goat and a white Bengal tiger, and he's got that crazy beard thing that comes out from it. Looks great. I love his new mask. I think you got to keep LFI as strong as possible. This loss, because you, the fact that I really wish they wouldn't have obviously set up that the good guys had to win this 6-man. Because it became kind of obvious that now, all right, so the bad guys got to lose. Because coming in, I felt like both teams were equally strong. They had done some good stuff with the LFI trio. So I hope they get back to that after this, because Roosh Dralistico's does some amazing stuff in the ring. Roosh is Roosh.
I miss him. I love Commander.
Is such a fantastic dude. I really want to see both of these guys active, both of those teams active in the trios division. If we're going to get that still, or was that just a device to get the trios titles off the Death Riders, and now they're just going to be absent without leave for a while?
Well, we had Kenny Omega defeating Claudio, Brody King, and Mascara Dorada. We'll talk about just the match. Just the match at first. You needed this match on the show for sure. And you need them to eat up some time, which I think, as we'll talk about later, will be the Swerve Ospreay role next week. It's going to eat up a lot of time. And especially, I love working the diverticulitis over. Because it's such a pro wrestling thing to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're like, we're working the diverticulitis over. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
He's got a great big bullseye right over the diverticulitis.
Yes. Look, I remember, like, when Kane, I think it was Kane Velasquez, kicked Brock Lesnar, somebody in the Applebee's I was in goes, he kicked him in the diverticulitis. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I don't think it works that way, but we'll see. And it did. There's a track record.
What? You were in an Applebee's?
Oh, buddy. An Applebee's at 1 a.m. watching Cain Velasquez versus Brock Lesnar fight.
That's great. Can I get another round of jalapeno poppers over here? It kicked him in the diverticulitis. Are you muted? What happened? I can't hear you.
I muted myself. Okay. Wonton Tacos, Applebee's, sponsor me. I got one right up the road from me. I love the Wonton Chicken Tacos. Used to love their glazed salmon. It was okay. It was solid. Listen, it's what we had in Maysville, Kentucky, was an Applebee's that our MMA team convinced them that we would be there every time if they bought the fights.
Okay.
And they had to spend a lot of money to do that. Now, why we didn't just get together and instead of 10 of us buying an Applebee's meal, just buying the pay-per-view and ordering some pizzas, I don't know.
Right.
But, listen, we were helping the community out. That's what we did. We served the community.
You're helping the small businesses out, like Applebee's. Yes.
So Okada and Omega had a face-off, and then it's announced that Tony Khan has an enormous announcement tonight, and he doesn't. Tony Schiavone actually has the announcement.
Right, yes, of course. That's the way it works.
But FightfulSelect.com scoop confirmed, and we will have more on this this week. Okada, Omega, at All In. Winner take all. Got to do this. Got to consolidate the titles.
Yeah.
Huge match for All In. Hopefully one that puts some asses in seats.
You'd hope. Yeah. This is a major deal to do that there for the first time in America. It's like a storied rivalry. There's a lot of people now who are of buying tickets age who probably heard about this first when they were like in their early to mid teens and were like, everybody's talking about this. And they found it on the internet. They put it on. I remember when that thing went up on YouTube and people were glued to finding it on YouTube to watch that, that amazing.
Oh, buddy, there's a whole bunch of people that discovered it this week because of our dude Dante on Deck on Twitter, who watched these matches for the first time. And just like his videos, reactions went crazy to it. I'm loving this. It seems like there's been a real influx over the last, I want to say a couple months of people being like, all right, WWE's been cool. It's been good lately, but now let me try something else. And Dante watched the first one. I want to shout out my dude, Dante. He's doing some really great stuff. Dante on Deck on Twitter. Please go check it out and then watch his videos as well. But Pat says, oh, yeah, All In's going to do 20 to 25K at least. Yeah, I mean, I think guaranteed they'll do 20,000. If they can get to 25, I think that's a good move. I was hopeful they'd get to 30 when they announced it. Doesn't look like that'll be the case. But Mike Owen says, if there's a match that's going to move tickets, it's Okada versus Omega on U.S. soil. Seems like perfect timing for the announcement. All In looking good. Yeah. And they've still got a couple things that, like, we don't know what MJF is doing. We don't know what Swerve and Ospreay are doing, although we can assume maybe something with the Bucks unless next week goes to, like, some sort of screwy finish and they're like, run it back at the Pape.
I really hope they don't do that, though. So we'll talk, like, we'll talk more about that when we talk about
that. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
I don't want to too quickly gloss over the Fatal Four Way, which was fantastic. It's a thing from tonight. If you didn't see it, that's one you find. Masquerade Dorada fit in so well with everybody. I'm fairly certain Claudio could do a big swing to an elephant.
Yeah,
he's just so damn strong. Like it was really far into the match where he should have been tired from basing for Dorada and doing all the stuff with Kenny and going toe-to-toe with Brody King. But he's just like, he just kicks Dorada out of the ring like it's nothing. And then Brody King jumps in. He's like, you know what? I've got your legs now. And he just starts swinging him around. It was a fantastic match. Loved it. And I'm also, yes, I love that they said, okay, we're setting this up now, Okada and Omega. But when they had the fight in the ring, I would argue you didn't need a major announcement. You could have just like put up a graphic and saved the major announcement time for, I don't know, women's tag belts. But
you could have just subscribed to Fightful Select a number of months ago as well. Just $5.99 a month. Your boy's got a bunch of scoops over there. Had one on Karrion Kross and his contract status today. Yesterday, what even did I have yesterday? Wardlow update that everybody's been asking me about. Right. How about this? Going to have one on Camille soon, too. People have been asking about her. FightfulSelect.com. Brian more or less said the show is way too long. Agreed. But never disappointed in the ring. Got to agree with that, too.
Yeah.
I just didn't need 4 hours of that. They announced Okada Omega now. No need to drag it out. Hopefully they can keep this moment to All In. It feels like a lot is going on right now. I think they will. And this is sincerely like a match you put in a stadium show. It's that people have waited for again for years.
7 years is the last time these guys had a one-on-one match.
Is it really
2018?
Like those, like again, New Japan, especially that era has like, it means so much to me. Cause that's where I was carving my niche out and interviewing a lot of those talent. And I remember as I watched it, and I would say for probably, over 10 years, I was like, I'll never see anything better than Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, and Samoa Joe. But it, you could argue to me that Undertaker Shawn Michaels was right up there because of that story. And then I saw those matches and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh. And then they kept on doing it. And then it's like, oh, well, Jericho's coming here and having insane matches too. And I was like, oh, well, we're in a new era. This is something different. Yeah. Hugely special matches. Dave Koss says, wait one thing. Okada Omega 5 will be great, but the bar for that match is so insanely high. Hope fans find a way to middle that bar and realize this is what, 7 years after their last match. Yes, and Okada has shown that he can still have these insane bangers.
Yeah.
And this is the person that you have to have an insane banger with.
Yeah. This is the
you
one
ain't saving yourself for the G1.
No.
Here.
This is the one you're doing it for.
This is, yep. If you have one more good match in your AEW career over the next 4 years.
That's it. We got to do it.
This is the one. Yep. This is the one you got to have. So, Dave, I think that they will find a way to do it. And I think these two gentlemen are smart enough to know there are going to be things 7 years ago that they could do that they can't do now. But they are 7 years wiser as well and still very capable. Reverie says, I know AEW is about restoring the feeling, but I don't think the desired feeling was a huge announcement that turned out to be absolutely nothing. Now, hold on a second.
Here's the deal. It wasn't absolutely nothing because it's a major match. However, you could just put up the graphic and nobody would say it was absolutely nothing. They'd be like, oh, good, I'm really happy for this match. When you do, Tony Khan has a huge major announcement. People who want certain things, like, I saw people who were saying an ROH TV deal. Like, people were thinking it was going to be a major thing. That's because I don't think he's ever done a major announcement for just saying, hey, this match is happening. People thought it was going to be something much bigger than whatever match it was going to be. Especially because I think a lot of people anticipated this match anyway, just by using cues.
But there's a lot of people that are not online.
Okay.
A lot of people that aren't online, and it existed within this show. This wasn't something that 3 days ago they said, right, Tony's got a huge announcement, tune in.
It was
on this show, and it's a rematch of the most important match probably to AEW history, like to their history. And it's something that you all already knew was going down because – yeah, boys reported it. Like, it existed within the context of this show only. Bryce says, yeah, we're sickos, but what dedicated sickos listen to 4 hours worth of Dynamite and Collision while on the clock at work? Other than that kind of a waste announcement ahead of Okada Omega, I disagree. Like, again, guys, this is not something that they mentioned 2 weeks ago. Tune in, you gotta see this.
This is
like hour two, them going, hey, just hang around for tonight. We're gonna have a big announcement.
People worked themselves into the proverbial chute.
And what they got was the rematch to one of the greatest matches of all time. I don't get it. Some people will never be happy.
That's true.
Oh, look who's in the chat.
Hey! How's it going? Hey, Brad.
I bet he was thrilled. What do you think he thought of Los Outrunners?
I'll tell you what I thought of Los Outrunners.
I'd rather you don't. Yeah. Andrew says, didn't feel too long to me. That's what she said. Not a single bad segment on this card. AEW is back. If I weren't going on a cruise, I'd be headed to Dallas for All In. I am headed there. I'm very excited for it. Very, very excited about it. We got Will Ospreay cutting a promo, and listen, he is very passionate about AEW. He is the dancing AEW logo, the mascot right now. He is all about it. This is what he wants, is for AEW to succeed and do well and all that. And he says next week he wants Swerve, and we're getting it next week.
Yep.
I think this is going to eat a huge chunk of time.
Huge chunk of time. It's going to be great.
Yes.
I think that somehow it comes out of this that they agree that Swerve says, I won't help him, but I will help you take out the Bucks. I think that you can figure out if Will can convince Swerve to help take out the Bucks to make sure they can't help John Moxley. And it's like, don't think about helping Hangman. Think about getting revenge for what they did to you at Dynasty. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing you could say is like, as he said tonight, when Hangman gets the title, then kill him. Then you can kill him. Kill him for the title after he gets it. Then you can take the title from him. Wouldn't that be so satisfying to you, Swerve? I think that hopefully is what comes out of it. I was worried they were going to do them fighting each other again at All In. I don't think you should do that. But Swerve and Ospreay 2 on June 11th, and then Swerve and Ospreay 3 on July 12th. I don't think you should do that.
The crew wants to fight Will Ospreay.
When the crew's music hit, he's like, "Who's this then?" And then they came out, and they came out, and kudos to the camera for having his reaction, because they came out and he goes, like, "What are you doing here?" Like it was basically the Snoop Dogg meme. Who was basically his reaction? I thought that was hilarious.
Well, we got Will Ospreay versus Lio Rush out of this, which I am all for.
That was good.
It is incredible. Yeah. And James Stelling says, giving me Swerve versus Ospreay in free TV. Yes, please. I mean this. Lio Rush is one of the most impressive athletes I have ever seen in pro wrestling. He is capable of things that I have only seen like Rey Mysterio pull off in his prime. He is that good. And this is a match that I didn't know how bad I needed. And I'm very glad that we got it. Yeah. Phenomenal stuff. Incredible. And why you hire Will Ospreay.
Absolutely. Yeah. This was an excellent match. Lio Rush was fantastic in it. Ospreay is the ace. He's just so, so fantastic. And then, you know, we get a Hanger coming down to save him from a beatdown. And then Ospreay a little later returns the favor.
MJF confronted Ospreay, by the way. Then a brawl is stopped by the Hurt Syndicate. We got a little bit of an extended look at Bobby Lashley looking at Will Ospreay, which again, a match I did not know that I needed.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Because I had never considered them together.
Yeah.
Hangman emphasizes that he does not need help from anyone, much less Swerve Strickland, who he calls the worst person on the planet.
He promised. Not only did he promise, he said, I promised last week that I'm going to win the title. I promise I will never need or accept help from Swerve. And I feel like he's going to have to break one of those two promises at All
In. Yeah.
And we just hope he breaks the right one. Because if he breaks the wrong one, then everything is broken in my house, because I'll break everything with a hammer, because that's how mad I'll be.
Death Riders surround Paige, and then Ospreay makes the save. I really, really like this story, how it's developed, because if there is one benefit of them keeping the title on Jon Moxley longer than they should have, it is we all cannot wait for Hangman to take it from him. And we can't wait to see these numerous baby faces that they have cultivated come together. And then once that title changes hands, them to likely feud after that.
Yeah.
Hangman draws out emotions and everybody can sympathize with Will Ospreay, because that guy just loves wrestling and loves AEW.
Yeah.
And also he loves his friend Swerve, but he also understands. And again, I don't think it is we've got to do this while we have the chance. It's not like a we'll never get a title shot again thing. It's a we have to get on the same page, because they're always on the same page. And not only that, they got Gabe Kidd running around with them now. And I know what he's like, and it sucks. So,
yeah.
I really love this. Knocked Bogan says, are they waiving the 20-minute time limit for the Continental title? Can't wait to see Omega Okada go in less than 20. Guess winner take all can change that. So they announced the contract signing next week. So what I think we should have is a contract negotiation where if it's title for title, Omega says, I'll give you this one continental rule, no outside interference. One rule of mine.
No,
we get rid of that time limit.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what I think works there.
Yep.
FTR defeated Atlantis Jr. and Templario by cheating. And then there is a, it was a very like time killing promo is what we saw there that you can tell they're like, we got to fill this 4 hours. Dax, Cash, Stokely.
And we can't possibly do another women's match. Yes. And we have to have this. We specifically had Adam Cole talk to Daniel Garcia and said, you, me, and my boys here, Roddy and Kyle, the four of us in an eight-man tag versus the Don Callis family. And then Don Callis said, yeah, how about that? But also, I'll take my two best guys and team them with a dude who's not even in my group, and we're going to take on the ROH champion and the friggin' Outrunners wearing pink masks for some reason. Like, that match had no business being on this when there was only, again, one real, true, full women's match in 4 hours.
Let's work that match into this, because Hechicero apparently joins the Callis family, which Luis notes he's currently booked to team against them the day before Grand Slam.
I mean, was it only kind of like a mercenary thing? Like, while we're in town, how about, you know, you...
But he's booked against them still.
But one night only, tonight, you know, and then...
So Tim says, happy Pride, Fightful. Happy Pride. He says, fun show that was kind of ruined for me by the lack of women matches. The DCF, Outjobber... Come on. I like the Outrunners just fine. They are... No. I know you don't, Alex, but
no.
What I have discovered is that you really hate fun.
Listen, I love MXM. They're nothing but fun. They really are.
I disagree with that. I think they kind of suck.
Oh, okay. Great.
I think they're kind of shitty.
You think MXM sucks because
shitty.
You think you still hold a grudge against Mansoor for being on our NXT show? Well, okay, that's fine.
How did that one age? Where'd he end up at? Not NXT. They didn't bring him back.
No, they didn't. No, they didn't. It's true.
Go to hell, Mansoir.
It's a crime to watch three of the top 35 wrestlers in the world like have to sell, have to bump and feed for just like scoop slams. Like I'm watching like WWF in 1984. Like we've gone so far past this that the ironic. We do moves and our characters are from a bygone era where nobody could work. Doesn't work as a gimmick for me in the era and in this era and in this company where you have Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher and Etchicero just walking around, literally stumbling into a scoop slam. No, not for me, not ever. Just.
Phil says, Hangman and Swerve have to swallow each other's pride, and Hangman has to allow Swerve to help. Swerve can skull emoji Hangman after he wins the title. For love of God, TK, do the right thing. It's a great way to put it. Yes, Phil, all super chats are read on our show, unless we just happen to miss one, then they get read down the line. But
like out of order, maybe.
Yeah, they're not in order. But anyway, listen, they have set the table so well. I've mentioned this for months. Omega, Swerve, Hangman, Ospreay.
Yeah.
You got four really big baby faces. And then on the heel side, it feels like near the top, you're a little thin.
Sure.
Because it's Moxley and Okada maybe. And then the Young Bucks is a tag team. And then there's MJF
all you got to do is just turn up the dial a little bit and Ricochet and whoever he picks to be his dudes absolutely could be near the top as a heel act. He's doing such fantastic work.
And MJF is very much leaning into the world title thing. Phil also says, I want Truth to show up on TNA or AEW and still think he is in WWE. Imagine if he wanted to go talk to Mr. Khan and calls Tony Nick. That's something that Truth would do and it'd be allowed. That, listen, of the bits like that that I've heard, that's one of the better ones.
Where I mean, the one, like, I heard was that he would run into all the people who used to work there.
Yes.
Like, especially like he'd call Adam Copeland Edge and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Cause he's still.
Yes. I would love it if he ran into Speedball and he's like, Bailey, you look different.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be good if he was like, Mr. Khan, Nick, can I talk to you about getting my job back?
Uh-huh.
Sarah Noble says Caster should join the frat house. I kind of like that, honestly.
Uh-huh.
Would TK book Gabe Kidd to murder Darby Allin? Listen, that's honestly a pretty solid all-in or Forbidden Door match there.
Yeah.
I kind of dig that. I really like that idea. Mike Owen says, if there's a match that's going to move tickets, it's Okada Omega on U.S. soil. Seems like the perfect timing for the announcement. All-in looking good. I think what they should be doing for the next 5 weeks is a big match each week to move tickets. Well, Harley Cameron is overseas right now, but she is such a gamer. Last week, we noted that she got busted up. As it turns out, she was already busted up. I think Brian Alvarez put it out there. Timeline was a little off from what I understand, but like Brian Alvarez had that story where she broke her nose and she's like, I want to work this into an angle. So let's get them over a little bit.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of known there was like an elephant in the room here with this Anna Jay Harley team. And it's that Ty Mello was ready to come back after 2 years. She's been cleared for months and months and months. She wrestled in January in Japan and has said they wanted her back for something. Well, it was to save Anna Jay from what seems like the blossoming of a tag team division. Allen says, Ty is back. Where is the women's tag titles? Well, she was getting beat up by Megan and Penelope and pulled into camera. Ty's back. Glad to see it. Would be a great addition to a tag division, Alex.
Absolutely. I think that this was a really fun return angle, the save of Anna Jay. easy thing to do would have been to have, you know, Megan and Penelope, they already had their gear. So you could have them beat up some women in a tag match and do this angle afterwards. You know, like, actually, you could, you, because I don't know. I mean, like,
Anna could be very, very well. I mean, it's like, I also don't know. Did Ty not tell Anna she was there?
I don't know. I don't know how that works, but you know, it's hey, I'm, every time they do one of these surprise things, I always feel like they pulled into the parking lot 20 seconds prior to them running out. Like, they literally got there as soon as they could. This you could do, figure out a way to work in an extra women's match in there would have been nice. You could tie this into an angle where that doesn't feel like, hey, we came to work, got into our gear so we could beat up Anna Jay, and Ty happened to be there. It feels like you could have figured out a way to do something else with that as well. But, yeah.
Well, I'm going to tie this in to our partner, NordVPN.com/Fightful. Maybe you're in Brazil, like our friend Ty is. Maybe you're going to be in Mexico for Grand Slam. Maybe you're going to be in Canada for All Out or All Out. Maybe you're going to be in America for All In. And maybe you want to be anywhere in the gosh darn world that you want to be when changing your virtual location with NordVPN.com/Fightful. And you might say, Sean, what are the benefits of that? Well, when you change your virtual location with Nord, the very basic tier, by the way, you can get pay-per-views at a much more affordable price. You can protect yourself from online snoops and criminals, but you can also get access to like a bunch of WWE content with just one Netflix subscription, which can save you a bunch of money. You get 2 years, 2 years plus an extra 4 months of NordVPN for less than 1 month of the price of cable. And there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to try it ahead of All In and you want to get that pay-per-view at a much more affordable price, change your virtual location, buy the pay-per-view, and if you don't like it for any reason, you can get your money back. 30-day money-back guarantee. There's really no reason not to sign up at NordVPN.com/Fightful. You might say, but Sean, I watch it on my phone. Great, it works there. You might say, Sean, I watch on my smart TV. Works there. Watch on my PC, Sean. It works there. You might say, but maybe I'm trying to just put it on everything. Well, you can put it on your router as well. NordVPN.com/Fightful. And they have 24/7 tech support to help out if you need it. Jordan says, are these multi-man matches and the trios belts haven't said, are all these multi-man matches and the trios belts haven't had a solid feud outside of the D-Riders in forever? Who should the ops feud with going into the summer? Anybody. Yeah, anybody at this point.
I was kind of like hoping that you could keep LFI really strong, because that would be a banger of a match. I don't feel like there's a heel trio unless that's all you've got for like Fletcher, Takeshita, and Josh Alexander, but they'd be a really great trios team if you let them wrestle. I forget, you've got to find like a heel trio that you think probably has a decent chance of beating the ops. I think that might be your only one, but I would assume Takeshita and Fletcher have other things penciled in for All In, but they might not. And if they don't, that's a really great trio. Takeshita, Fletcher, and Alexander versus the ops would be great. We still haven't gotten anything more than when Hook showed up and hit Claudio with a golf club and then seemed to say F you,
Samoa. Yeah. Joe.
Like we gotta sew that up before we get more ops stuff, I would think, but maybe not.
Yeah, I want a follow up to this. Mm-hmm. And this would have been a great show for it.
It would have been a great show for it.
Jules Mack says this was a great show. Kenny Okada is a headline match. If you love wrestling, this is your jam. Listen, man, the potential of Kenny and Okada consolidating some titles. First off, Hangman winning the title. Again, the two biggest women stars that AEW has ever had fighting each other. That enough, it has me like, hell yeah. Yep. Then I think it's either going to be Swerve versus Ospreay or Swerve and Ospreay against the Bucks. And I would imagine that AEW is smart enough to apply some stakes to that. I don't know what those stakes will be.
Yeah.
But I just feel like they would be. Because that feels like finality to the Death Riders elite power stranglehold thing.
I don't know how you figure out a way to like make the Bucks agree to this, but like if Swerve and Ospreay can beat the Young Bucks, then nobody is allowed at ringside.
Yeah, it's got to be like
Hangman and Moxley one on one. You know,
got to be an ego play type of thing.
Yeah,
because like that's like that. they. You got to exploit their ego on the show. D-Matic, the producer, says, is it me or am I the only one who feels like FTR's theme doesn't fit them? Feel like every baby face that turns needs a new heel theme song, i.e. Seth Rollins. And Luis mentions they tried a low pitch version of their theme some weeks ago against Paragon and went to the original version. I mean, they are one of the rare acts that, like, I think it was a CFO's theme to say, yeah, but that's perfect for him. Is really, really perfect for him.
It's really good. Yeah.
And I got to be real. It doesn't seem like it'd be that hard to write for these gentlemen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it would be. Yeah.
Like something a little bit Southern based, maybe with some rap influence that probably think that they would like. I mean, I know that Cash is actually a big rap fan. Patriarchy interview. I am tired of the patriarchy.
You just want your thing that you want, and it's getting too late for them to start doing it. Like a couple more weeks, and they got it. Like the clock is ticking.
I suspect. I think old Christian. You know what? I don't want to get aggregated, so I won't say anything.
All right. Okay.
I just feel like maybe he wasn't working on the same timeline as everybody else with this thing.
All right.
And it's like, well, why the hell's Cope off TV then?
Yeah, I know.
Meanwhile, they're probably like, well, I guess we can headline all Oot with it.
That's actually a pretty good bet, but that's a long way from now.
It is. And that's why I'm like, I don't want to pay patriarchy anymore. Move on. Let's go. Got to move some tickets for this stadium show.
This is the thing that that him being so, you know, now abusive to Nick Wayne and you know, passive aggressive and manipulative and gaslighting him and all this stuff. Maybe Nick Wayne just flies off the handle and beats him down. And he's got Luchasaurus comes back or Killswitch or whatever. He's also doesn't like Kip Sabian joins Nick Wayne. It's a whole mutiny. And they take out Christian. And Copeland is the guy who actually helps him.
Well, I think there's one of two ways to do it. Either one, again, Cope wants the biggest piece of shit he can possibly think of to help him with FTR.
Right, perhaps.
Or the thing that actually sets Nick Wayne off is Christian redeeming himself by saying, I'm proud of you. And just so you know, your father would have been too.
Oh.
And then Nick Wayne is like, of all things. And it, to me, it's enough shades of gray where it's like, okay, you see Christian realizes he's been an asshole. Mm-hmm. But you also understand why Nick Wayne might take that the wrong way instead of a complimentary way. I think that's the best possible way to do it. And it's a way you can do it in 1 week.
Sure.
1 week.
Sure.
Ah, Ricochet promo says he would stick around, watch the show to see who he would recruit. He's on commentary as Nick Wayne defeats AR Fox, Lee Johnson, Sammy Guevara. Listen, I'm happy to see all four of these gentlemen on TV.
Sure. Absolutely.
And we get AR Fox chance here. AR Fox is getting over, buddy.
He's over everywhere he goes. He is the most, he has the most innovative offense of anybody. Like, he did some weird, crazy, like thing. Oh, he did like a mini springboard, like thing over the top into a DDT thing that he did out of the corner that I've never seen before. It was like one of those things, like I need to find somebody who would like clip that so I can go back and watch it 10 times in a row to figure out how the moving parts work.
You can definitely tell Mr. Hughes trained him. You can definitely tell Mr. Hughes trained him.
He's over everywhere. I just hope that Tony listens and does something with him that is not just put on a fantastic match and lose.
Yes. Yes. He's really good. He's really good, and I want to see more out of him. I really do. Brian more or less says, I can see Blake and Lee fitting in with Ricochet, but I prefer your idea of having heavies like Gates of Agony. Yeah, somebody had mentioned to me Max Caster, and I was like, well, if you wanted to go the most obnoxious possible route.
The most obnoxious possible route, yes.
Yeah. Guys, just so you all know, I see the super chats and all that stuff. I'm aware of the account regarding Roxanne. I'm just not bringing any more light to it beyond like me talking about it on Twitter and my show is not going to help that situation. I have alerted people who need to be alerted and the appropriate people are aware of it.
Yeah.
Jordan says was a nice ROH TV title match, but is there some reason why the women's ROH belts are never on AEW TV while the men's singles and tags are always going in and out? Jordan, here's the answer. There is none. Athena defending the title tonight would have been great. Would have been awesome.
Would have been a major deal. Yep. You have 4 hours. Four. Apparently, there were something like 12 and a half total minutes of women's wrestling in
four hours. Let's talk about it now. Tekla defeated Lady Frost. A good, quick match. Lady Frost is really, honestly, listen, she's really good at getting beat up. And she looks incredible. She takes offense well. Tekla is one of those people that, listen, her matches in Japan have not been great lately, but she's going to translate real well to United States television.
Sure.
She looks like a star. Queen of the Ring did a great video on her. She's in a punk band. But then we get Queen Aminata showing up and issuing a challenge because Tekla wouldn't let go of her hold. It would have been a lot better if, listen, Queen Aminata won a match against Julia Hart a few months ago. Great. What if she won a quick match tonight? What if they had her out there against a local or anybody and she just, bam, beat her immediately? And I don't even mean like any offense for the other person. I mean like immediate squash match.
Yeah.
Bam. And I'm sitting here going, where in the shitting fuck is Jamie Hayter?
Well, where that where in the shitting fuck she is, to me, is you – they didn't – they're saving the Jamie Hayter and Tekla program for after this little mini thing they're going to do with, with Aminata. I think that Tekla and Aminata next week is a one-off, but I think it goes 7 minutes, not two. Like, sure. Aminata is a much more formidable opponent for Tekla in storyline. I think Lady Frost is great, don't get me wrong, but that was not her role tonight. Her role was to showcase who Tekla was to a brand new audience. Aminata, we know as a bruiser and somebody who can throw her weight around, and that, I think, is what that is. And after that is when you get a Jamie Hayter coming in to stop it. I think that that's kind of what they're giving you a little bit more of Tekla to get us acclimated to who she is and why Jamie Hayter might be in for more than she thinks.
So we have a lot of people expressing the displeasure that we have shown on the women's thing. I wish we could have had these sorted a little bit better, but I'll go through these. But Corey talks about the match. He goes, after her debut in one match, I'm sold on Tekla. Don't know what it is, but her aura just says special. She could use TBS champ in a month or two, and it'd be believable. I'm also convinced that Megan Bain could be AEW's Rhea. I think that there needs to be some, again, some consolidation and some realignment. Sure. I think Tekla would be a great opponent for Mercedes for the TBS title after she loses to Toni Storm, which I think is what's going to happen.
If she loses to Toni Storm and then she's got her TBS title, but now, okay, well, now I got to face, I just lost Toni Storm and now I've got to face this undefeated maniac. Like that's, like Mercedes would kill that the just in the match. Like, oh my God, I've never faced anything quite like her before. You know, she'd make it so well.
It should be Mercedes coming out, cutting an angry, I may have lost, but I'm still this champion promo. The lights flash off quick enough to do the Tron for Tekla. Then when they come on, she's in the spider pose in the ring and turns around.
Yeah.
And Mercedes is like, shit. And Chad says, this is my favorite version of Mercedes ever. But yeah, Tekla is, I think she's going to work a lot better in AEW than she did even in Stardom. Matthew Hook says, hire Gail Kim to help the AEW women's division. To be clear, she's been an agent for the last however many years. She hasn't been like working creative and stuff. Tekla's first two AEW matches are the same opponents as Mariah May's first two. I think that is just a coincidence.
Crazy coincidence.
I think, yeah, just a coincidence. James Zimmerman says, thanks for the late show. Toni Storm rocks the best in the sport today, but you think she'll lose it all in? No, I think that Toni Storm wins it all in, and they really hammer down that the woman they have been pushing for the last however long is truly the queen of that division. And Mercedes will get there eventually, but right now it's them.
I mean, I at this point I'm 50-50, and I don't think I don't think there's a bad choice you can make. That's what I love about this, is I honestly do not know who is winning, and either way, I think it's a good choice. They're both so great.
Mercedes Tekla at Forbidden Door All Out is an easy 5 stars. I don't think they're going to do that at Forbidden Door because I think it's going to be New Japan versus AEW up and down the card there. But All Out, quite possibly. Quite possibly. Mercedes ain't losing. Want to bet, buddy? Want to bet that? Let me tell you, I'm going to be checking my bookmarks for some of those creative control tweets. People think she got creative control, but she can't get the Renegades on TV with her. Okay. All right, then. Intrigued to see what the Jamie Tekla feud starts in full force. Happy to see a few non-title feuds for the women with Ty Mello returning too. Yeah. Again, I have always thought, first off, I don't think they need three women's singles titles in ROH. I'd be okay with two in AEW, but the women's tag titles need. LaRon says less than 12 minutes, 30 seconds of women's wrestling on a 4-hour episode. Definitely a choice. Does Tony even want to do, God, I got the hiccups. Does Tony even want to do right by the women in his employ? It's a bummer how bad they did with this. Phil says, disgusted by the way AEW did their women's roster. They deserve better. 4-hour show was not what it should have been. They should have been spread out, they should have been spread between 2 weeks of Dynamite. Yeah, you should have had three or four women's matches on each Dynamite. Three would have been ideal at worst.
Yeah.
At worst.
Especially since one of the matches was a squash. Mm-hmm. Give me another women's match somewhere in there, even if that is also a squash, to like set up the results of both squashes wanting to face each other, like we were talking about with Amanada doing something. But ideally, yes, it should be two full women's matches in 4 hours. At least 10 minutes each in 4 hours. I don't think that's a lot to ask.
I agree. Jordan says solid pay-per-view for TV. I wouldn't even call it that.
No.
But even though technically it was. However, Tony owes the women more than that. I agree. Better make an announcement next week with the Women's World Tag Title Tournament. Also, how do you go over on a 4-hour show? I'm tired, man. Friend, it is 1:30 a.m. I feel ya. But listen, I think that the finals of the Women's Tag Team Tournament happening at you know what? Honestly, I think the finals of that happening at Forbidden Door makes a lot of sense. Because you do, again, what I've been saying, the world women's tag titles. You get people from CMLL. You get people from Japan. You get an indie team. Get the Hex in there. Yeah. Get Allison Kay and Marty Bell. Say that we really mean the world women's tag titles. And then you do it at Forbidden Door, and I think that works. Tony P says, long but decent show. Expected more. The last hour drag seemed like Tony had a clear idea for the first 2 hours. Disappointed why they didn't have any more women on. Any clue as to why, Sean?
Not a priority right now for some reason.
The priority.
They hardly ever do how about a match tonight? They always book things for the following week, and they come into the night. Here is our full card. These are all the things you're going to get, and they are very rarely stray from that. Adding four matches to a 4-hour card feels like Tony Khan isn't the guy who comes into a show and adds a whole bunch of matches during it, because that makes him look like he wasn't prepared to put on a 4-hour program. Without those four matches, the show doesn't take place. There's no way you can stretch out to 4 hours. So it feels weird that you're adding matches on the card, and at least one of the matches you're adding isn't a women's match when you only had 1.5 going into the night.
Paragon and Daniel Garcia want the Don Callis family, and they get them in the main event of this show. Alex, how'd you feel about this match?
It's fine. You know, I mean, it was a weird thing to like end the night on. I understand it's really late and it's not nobody's gonna be staying up to watch anything anyway, but it certainly didn't feel like the main event, as they kept calling it that. It felt like it was a thing that could have been in the middle of hour two, you know, but
I feel like even going off the air announcing that Okada and Omega was set probably might have been.
Yeah.
Could have been a lot better here. They're looking at the Daniel Garcia Adam Cole thing. Sorry for the stutter, fellas. They end up winning. They're clearly teasing some more there, but I want to see some like story building. Like, I feel like the Daniel Garcia that I fell in love with as a character, like, he was almost a little bit aloof, you know what I mean? As opposed to, like, let me be cool with everybody.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think a heel turn for him might be in the order, because he lost the title to Adam Cole, and Adam Cole's like, hey, we respect each other, right? And he's like, mm-hmm. I really just want that title back. But like, yeah, I don't have any real problem with you, but maybe in order to actually win these matches I keep losing, I have to be a little bit more, you know, underhanded or something, you know, like there's something there, but I don't want him to join the Don Callis family or anything, but like there's something that you could do, but I just it feels like they lost all of that goodwill that he had when he won the title in November. Like, it just feels like nobody really cares anymore.
By the way, Garcia and Paragon end up winning this match. Yes. And again, I have always thought the Maven 2004 method heel turn would go good for Daniel Garcia, a guy who passed up being mentored
right
by Brian Danielson and right. really regretted it.
Yeah.
And Simmons says, I think you put Bowens and Gates of Agony with Ricochet, him and Bowens fit together. I think they should pivot to him, but Daniel Garcia, put Daniel Garcia with Paragon and they feud. I mean, if you're really establishing Paragon as something different from Undisputed Era, which yeah. I think they kind of have with the name.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one.
If you want to ride this whole, everybody sees Bowens more as a heel than a babyface thing. Like him and Ricochet could be really, really fun as arrogant heels.
Hard to have him go back to a team fashion, though, man.
I agree. But like, first things first, get Billy Gunn out and let's see how the singles run goes without Billy Gunn.
I agree.
And if it's still fizzling a little bit, you got to figure out what else you could do with him, because he's too damn talented.
He is. Yeah, I agree. And I am tired. Guys, please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. I cannot tell you how much of our lifeblood that is. I know for a lot of people, you're like, why would I pay for wrestling news? It supports original creators and supplements the wrestling news industry. We have great podcasts from this gentleman over there. We also have Q&As from myself. We've got exclusive Discord access. During these pay-per-views, I am not live tweeting nearly as much. I am over in those live chats. And sometimes I drop scoops that I don't have time to type up over there. Alex, tell the people where they can find you.
You can find me at Alex Sourgraps on all the socials media. And you can find me over at FIFA Select, where I review Raw with the wonderful Miss Kate Fabe on Mondays. And on Fridays, review SmackDown, the first 2 hours of it, while watching the third hour of it. It's hit or miss, depending on what they program for the third hour of SmackDown. Then this weekend, a twofer on Sunday, reviewing Worlds Collide, and hopefully that should be a fantastic show. But hopefully I don't mispronounce too many of the names. And then that night, Money in the Bank, which you know has a whopping 4 matches on the card. My God, it'll be so much fun.
I'm reviewing that one.
Yeah, and yeah. And we'll be doing that on 5-0 Select. And then, of course, every Tuesday, right here on this channel, reviewing NXT, which just got a whole lot more glamorous with the new Junie June, who's just joined, maybe, I don't know, Norman November.
Guys, you can support Fightful in a number of ways. I mentioned FightfulSelect.com. If you're a Spanish speaker, we have Espanol on Patreon, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We also have all those in English as well. Please follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I am on Facebook now, debunking a bunch of news. We're on TikTok as well. Just a wealth of different ways that you can check us out. I know a lot of you are watching us on video right now. If you just watch on video, please head over to your Spotify or your Apple and leave us a nice review, because that helps those platforms find us. We don't ever dive completely into one platform, so none of those platforms' algorithms really favor us. We are very spread out, so it would help us a lot if you would go to Apple or Spotify or both and leave us a nice review over there. I can't tell you how important that is. And leave a thumbs up on this video. Leave comments on this video. A couple things coming up this week on Fightful. Obviously, we're here every night. Interview with Deonna Purrazzo. Next week, we're dropping an extended Fightful Presents on Public Enemies run in WWE.
Okay.
Mike Straw did great work there. Early access to that on Tier 2 of Select. It's been an hour and a half. Listen, wasn't too bad, Alex.
Well, we got through 4 hours in an hour and a half. That's pretty good. Actually, that's great for me. I usually go 2 hours on 2 hours.
Yes. So
an hour and a half on 4 hours is pretty good.
Guys, until next time, we are out.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.